You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning to you. Michael McNamara in for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Welcome to the house, the operations center. Somebody reminded me last night of a friend struggling with life and poached Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever. And we talk about it on a regular basis, but don't be afraid. You know, a lot of people are a little bit reticent to walk up to guys that are struggling. And there's a playbook out there to help them. One, stop drinking. And it might be painful for them to hear, but you know what? They know the truth. And so I'd encourage you, if you know people that are struggling, don't be afraid. Yeah, don't be afraid. Obviously it's their choice, but they know the truth. They know what's right, and you may not change their behavior that day, but I would venture to say that within given time, maybe it's a little bit of seed planting. Now, some people never, but other people, absolutely, absolutely. So, and again, there's some people that you're not going to be able to help. You know, there is that group, and I think it's hard for people to deal with, but there is that group that, you know, you can take the horse to water, you can stick his head in the water, you can stick a hot poker up his ass and try to make him suck breath, you know, his breath in, and it still isn't happening. And for that, I don't know that there's any remedy for that. You know, obviously that there's more than likely mental health issues there, and our streets are filled with homeless people, a lot of them homeless veterans, that somehow or other they have mental health issues that we can't get our hands around. And there's communities all over the nation that are trying. They put up shelters. They have services that go with their shelters designed at getting people home, back off the streets, the medical care that they need. So anyway. But I would tell you, because the conversation that I had last night was, I'm not comfortable because I'm not a veteran. If you know people like that, encourage them. You don't need to be a veteran. All you need to do is care. And, you know, and don't accept, oh, the VA this or the VA that, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Plug it in a different way. Go talk to guys at the Marine Corps League. There's a workaround for every one of those problems. There's a solution. Okay? But the biggest thing is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to help somebody else in spite of, you know, what they may have said in the past or whatnot. So, anyway, I'm not sure who in the White House listens to All Marine Radio, but somebody does. So it was good to see, let me look at the Twitter account. The Twitter, all right. Let's see, tweets. Click on that. How about this one? In keeping with the theme from earlier this week, the time for bitching at allies is over, right? Lo and behold, Trump administration at least signals a truce with the EU relative to trade. And also says, yeah, Vladimir Putin, probably not going to have him come over. Actually, they said he's not. 2019, maybe. So, well done. Not sure who's listening, but somebody is. Okay. The tweet says this, well, no shit, exclamation mark. I said earlier this week that it's time that at real Donald Trump begins to solve some problems. Enough of the bitching at allies. Solve the problem with three exclamation marks. That's what we elected you for. If we wanted a bitch, we had other options. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton. So, again, Donald Trump is emblematic of the dissatisfaction that Americans feel with their government. He underperformed in Helsinki. And so somebody in the White House getting the message, and that's good. That's good. A little bit of a course correction, you know. But again, you know, one of the significant things about our allies and the structure of that is post-World War II structure, you know, is that the United States and Europe obviously had a heavy hand in that, okay, because the United States and Europe are what defeated Japan and Germany. So, and those institutions, things like the World Bank, right, the International Monetary Fund, the United Nations, those things have promoted peace and been great for the country. For not only the country, it's been great for the international community. Perfect? I dare say not. The United Nations at best go sideways most of the time. Okay, and but you know, those institutions really have been the routes of disputes, and that system has done pretty well for not only the United States and Europe, but for the world. So is it still what we need? Good question, right? The world's changing. India and China becoming more vibrant economic powers. So, but the president bashing them, certainly he ought to have his issues, and he certainly shouldn't restrain himself relative to those issues. You know, again, I think where he's gone with NATO is, you know, it's absolutely appropriate. And look what's happened. Oh my God, NATO turned itself around, or is in the process of reinvigorating its budgets. And that's the way to peace, peace through strength, right? The way to ensure you don't fight is to make sure that when people look at you, they say that fight is so not even close to being winnable that not going to go there. Pretty good. So the dollars invested in defense are really dollars invested in preemption. So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, so we're going to look at some. So those events yesterday were huge, huge. Pakistan had an election. So we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. And then you're going to get smart again. Yeah, how about that? You got to be excited about that. Earlier this week, I think on Tuesday, had an opportunity to play for you something about Russia that was done at the Aspen Security Forum. So there was a thing done about China there. Pretty, really interesting. And one of the most interesting things is that a CIA operations person is on the panel. Yeah, exactly. What? Exactly. So, really interesting stuff relative to China, how they do business. And it's even interesting, in Pakistan, right, has elected a reformer. Now, Pakistan is run by the military. The polling stations are run by the military. They're mostly on military bases, and where they're not on military bases, the military runs them. Okay, so hence a little bit of power there. And they've been doing that for, I think, the last 71 years in Pakistan. Pakistan has a fundamental choice relative to its behavior. And so the new leader of Pakistan is a former cricket star of their national team. So, so Pakistan wants a better relationship with the United States. The United States has stopped providing the aid that it provided because of Pakistan's stance relative to the Taliban. And being seen as less than helpful to the United States. So, and they also have the ongoing problem with India in the Kashmir region. Okay, so the cricket player, he wants to solve that. Looming are one of two directions. Pakistan's economy is in a tank. And so, so it's either going to have to go through the IMF. There you go. It's either going to have to go through the IMF, or it's going to go through China. One of the things that being written about is that, you know, the Pakistanis aren't so enamored with the Chinese, although they are Pakistan's closest ally. China yields a heavy hand when it lends money. So, anyway, so interesting stuff going on in Pakistan with implications for the United States. All right, there's some interesting discussion about what happened. The guy's name is Imran Khan. Former cricket star Imran Khan declared victory in Pakistan's elections, boosting stocks as investors bet he'll be able to form a stable government that could address the nation's financial woes after a vote tarred by rigging allegations. Khan's Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, or Movement for Justice, said it was emerging as the single largest party and can form a federal government. An official tally from Dawn newspaper showed his party leading in 119 seats which is shy of the 137 needed to clinch a majority, though only 49% of the vote has been counted. Jailed former Premier Nawaz Sharif's Pakistan Muslim League trailed with 61 seats, and Pakistan's People's Party led in 40, with other parties splitting the balance. While Sharif's party and the PPP denounced irregularities in the election, if needed, the 65-year-old Khan could strike deals with independent lawmakers to form a coalition. In a victory speech, Khan acknowledged that fixing the economy was the greatest challenge, and he would implement wide-ranging reforms. He also called for imposed trade ties and peace talks with rival neighbor India, so the two countries needed to end the blame game over the disputed and split region of Kashmir, which both sides claim in its entirety. I assure if India takes one step forward, we will take two steps forward, he said in a televised broadcast. Doesn't sound so conciliatory. Pakistan's next leader will urgently need to deal with mounting economic crisis. Four currency devaluations since December have made it likely that the next government will seek either International Monetary Fund bailout or additional loans from the Chinese. The completion of the election clears a path for the IMF negotiations, which is what, in the short term, investors care about most, said Hossein Malik, the Dubai-based head of the equity research firm Exotic Capital. A PTI victory that comes very close to an absolute majority is, at this stage, the most positive outcome for long-term investors interested in seeing better economic governance in Pakistan. Now, the interesting part of all this is nothing happens in Pakistan without the army's approval. Right? The article goes on. This is from Bloomberg. Any government will also compete for influence over foreign policy with Pakistan's powerful military, which has ruled much of the nation's history and faced accusations of meddling in the campaign, allegations it denies. Khan has long criticized the U.S. for drone strikes in Pakistan, taking a hard line against India, and expressed support for China's $60 billion infrastructure program. Quote, Khan as prime minister is unlikely to challenge the army's authority on policies including national security, defense, and relations with India, Afghanistan, and the U.S., according to Shailesh Kumar, Asia director for Eurasia Group in New York, said in a report. However, one of the things that's troubling many people this morning are statements like this. Are they hyperbole? Are they just the stuff that comes out of elections? This is the most dirty election in the history of Pakistan, Murshed Hussain said at a press conference in Lahore. This is not an election, but a selection. Someone is being installed. Someone is being removed. Anyway, so, but what I read that to make this point. One, will anything move in Pakistan? Is this just like clearing off the shelf of a bookcase and putting up somebody else, another bust or another portrait on that shelf of the bookcase? When what really runs Pakistan is the military, and they decide how relations are going to go, and whoever is installed, whoever they approve, then goes ahead and conforms to that. And then the next question is, International Money Fund or China? How does that go? So you can see China's hand around the world. And I think you'll find it really interesting in the panel. And I go back to, a little piece that I played. The Secretary of the Navy and the Commandant of the Marine Corps testified in front of, I want to say, the House Appropriations Subcommittee on, and so they're looking at the budget. So they're going over the Navy's budget. And in that, the Commandant and Secretary of the Navy both made a little bit of news in the way that they talked about China. And the commandant said, the Secretary of the Navy said, I stay awake at night over China. Commandant said, China has weaponized their economy. They want to win, but they don't want to fight. They want to slowly but surely seep into everybody's infrastructure, everybody's governance. The this is not going to be a foreign theme to you. You've heard it before, but you're going to get a chance to hear how wide it is around the world. So I think you'll find that interesting. And then we'll check the news. There's some Marine Corps news that that we'll get to, and so we'll do that to include a pretty substantial overhaul of the way officers are promoted. So that's big news in the DOD, not just Marine Corps, but the Department of Defense. So good morning to you on a Thursday morning. The chef will join us tomorrow. Yeah, how about that? The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated, if you have somebody out there struggling that you know, and you know what, and I would say this, kind of, my life's kind of changed a little bit. I bumped into so many people that deal with trauma, and the same rules apply to them that apply to us. And I think that I think we're capable of helping a lot of more people than simply our battle buddies and veterans. So I would say, look, I met a girl and over the weekend at a wedding. She was sitting next to me. I know her dad. And she had just been in the hospital for 30 days with Crohn's disease. And she's talking about how hard it was and the mental part of it. And so I was listening and, we started talking about how do you come back mentally and things like that. And so, very cool discussion. Very cool discussion. So, this is dedicated to inspiring people who are a little bit nervous to get involved with other people. Don't be. Don't be. The worst that's going to happen is they'll say thanks, but no thanks. And oftentimes, when they do that, you're pushing them a little bit closer to it. Okay? You're pushing them a little bit closer to it. So, this dedicated to everybody who can help, who might not be sure about it. Don't be afraid. Help.
Our flag is on the road. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident to thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
I love that. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't get tired of hearing any of that. The Krauthammer thing, I like that. You know, you're going to hear, I meant to put it in yesterday, but you're going to hear Dan Coates in there pretty soon. That little blurb where he talks about how lucky we all are to live here. I don't think most people give that shit's bit of thought. Yeah, just me. Yeah, you could be in Pakistan, for God's sake, man. Wearing your sandals to work. India, where they still have a class system. You know, and just wall-to-wall poverty. Hell, you couldn't live in Mexico, where they've got one of the most violent wars going on in the nation. Judges, political candidates. You swim upstream from drug money, you're going to get whacked. You want to come out and talk shit, you're going to get whacked. Instead, you're born American, man. Yeah, you won. So anyway. Yeah, I don't think too many people think about that. Whoa, what happened? Currently mostly sunny in 79 in Quantico. For whatever reason, the internet being slow. Stand by. Mostly sunny in 81 in Camp Lejeune. So a little bit cooler temperatures. Texas, where the gunner is. I'm flying there in a few days. That's right. Almarine Radio going expeditionary with the gunner. Yikes. No, actually looking forward to it. Gonna get to meet some friends in Granbury. Get a chance to meet Buck. That's right. People I've heard about. So 87 degrees under partly cloudy skies in Granbury. Texas setting record heat the last week in Big Timber, Montana. Cooled off a little bit. Sun in 62, 29 Palms. Cooled off a little bit. Sun in 86, Camp Pendleton below 70, which means it'll be a relatively moderate day in Southern California, which we like. Overcast in 69 at Pendleton, dark cloudy and 83 in Okinawa, fairly normal there. Marsha normal, so the Helmand Province, 106 degrees right now, and at the home of Almarine Radio. Cloudy and 71, looking for a high of 83. We'll take that. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 84. Saturday, mostly sunny and 84 degrees. That is a, let's look at your weather around Marineland. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. And, when we do, we will, we'll check news headlines. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of Auburn Radio on Thursday, coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public.
Time to check the news on this Thursday morning. The, yeah, I've got an email. Hey, Mac. It is interesting that they listen to you, but I think your sentiment was part of what a lot of conservatives felt after watching the Trump shit show head to Europe. One of the things often that's not easy to do is to do course corrections. you do have to give him credit for that. Yeah, you know, I give him full marks for creating the crisis and then solving it. You know, again, you hope he learns. Because I think there's a chord in the American people that elected him. And remember, that piece in the middle, they elect the president. Okay? For instance, in the last election, who was a conservative going to vote for? Hillary Clinton? Not in a million years. Who is a liberal going to vote for? Donald Trump? Never. All right? So who elected the president? Same people that always elect the president. Right? Known as soccer moms, right? Known as the independent voters. So that group of people elect the president. So the fact that Donald Trump gets elected makes you scratch your head and say, what's going on in the country? I never thought that would happen. Didn't even turn on news coverage on election day. So, and people that tell you I knew he was going to get elected, they're full of it. They might have been hoping that, but they're full of it. What was interesting, the indication to me, as the Gunner and I would talk about polls, and he would rail on polls. Polls are always wrong. But the one thing about that was interesting about the election was she never got very far away from him in the polls, despite the stuff that was coming out about him, right? I mean, some of the stuff that came out about him was crazy. There's no way he's getting elected. So the fact that she didn't pull away from him in the polls, there's commentary in there about her, and I don't think she's a very good candidate, to be very honest with you. But to me, there's a message in there in terms of people looking at his snarky attitude, you know, his screw Washington, I'm an outsider kind of a thing, you know, and his brand of populism. And for whatever reason, that resonated with, I don't know, that middle block of non-affiliated voters, not so very much affiliated. And there's a whole spectrum of people in there, but not so affiliated politically voters that elect the president. So, and watching him at time has been painful, being an outsider. And most recently, it was most painful. So, but again, I think the policies that the country pursues, and so to me, the policies are not Donald Trump bloviating. It is policy people, and he's hired, in my opinion, I like the people that he's hired. And, I know some of them, but, the policies I think we're pursuing are the right ones. Him out in front, that's troubling. And so I think I and a lot of conservative people said, what are you doing? Right? The significance of our alliances is that our alliance in the Pacific combined with the United States and the EU, you know what percentage of world commerce that those alliances control? About 75 to 80%. A lot. Okay, those are the democratic, you know, free, for the most part, democratically elected free nations that come together under alliances led by the United States. Those alliances are important for a lot of reasons, not just in defense, although defense is, you know, one of the key ones. So I think a lot of people looked at that performance in Helsinki and said, all right, enough. Solve a problem or two here, bro. Get your shit together. Solve a problem. All right. We'll take a quick look at, or not so quick look. At news, Marine Corps Times, the Corps is scavenging Humvee parts for its JLTV. Know what the JLTV is? The Humvee has long been derided as a death trap by veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, who were subjected to the onslaught of roadside bombs that easily tore through the small, lightly armored vehicles. You know, I think that... Who wrote this? Sean Snow. He's a Marine veteran. I think that's kind of bullshit. If you ever saw an up-armored Humvee... Now, IEDs got adjusted because we hardened our vehicles, and so they made bigger IEDs. The Iranians stepped in and provided a penetrator. And so, so that's not exactly true. The Humvee's lore is likely to live on, and there's a bunch of them that are sitting on in lots all over the United States, as we've gone to other vehicles. But we had a boatload of Humvees and no place to go. And now the Humvee's lore is likely to live on as the Marine Corps looks to scavenge parts from the small tactical vehicle to service its new expensive Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, or JLTV, in a move that the Marine Corps says could save it $100 million. The Marine Corps is harvesting Gunner Protection Kits, or JPK, and other parts to help cut costs and increase survivability on the new JLTV. Quote, the strategy has developed by the JLTV Joint Programs Office in 2012 as part of our effort to meet affordability metrics of the program, according to Andy Rogers. Our collaboration with the Marine Corps Systems Command, Program Manager, Infantry Weapons is key to that strategy. Gunner kits are basically rooftop turrets that can mount cruiser weapons and provide added protection to the operator. And so then there's a picture of a crane. Not a crane. It's a Marine Corps crane. How do I know that? It's coyote in color. Yeah, so it's a crane lifting off a turret from a Humvee that is going to be placed on a JLTV. So there you have it. The Corps is sinking a lot of cash into the new and improved tactical vehicle. This year's annual defense budget includes about $607 million for the procurement of 1,642 JLTVs for fiscal year 2019. The JLTV is an upgrade from its predecessor, boasting a mine-resistant V-shaped undercarriage and better armor. It's also transportable by the CH-53 heavy lift helicopter. In total, the Marine Corps plans to buy about 9,000, but those will only replace about half the Marine Corps' 17,000 Humvees, which means the Humvee is still in for the long haul, even as the Marine Corps scavenges its parts for the JLTV. Marine Corps will continue operating the Humvee until at least 2020. How about that? How about that? Yeah, if you look at pictures of the JLTV, it's a better version of the Hummer. The angled hull is important because, you know, the South Africans developed this because they faced roadside IEDs first many years ago. So they developed an angled hull so the vehicle doesn't absorb the blast. It channels the blast away from the troop compartment. And but the response to that is build bigger IEDs. Okay. And then the turret, yeah, you see different variations of the turret mounted on top. Some have vision blocks on the sides. Some have a canopy over the, you know, a camouflage canopy over it that the gunner can pull down depending on the heat. Because if you're in that thing with the heat beating down you, metal all around you, your ass is going to roast. I mean, to the point of physical heat exhaustion. So, anyway, Marine Corps trying to reduce the price tag of the JLTVs. You know, these stories have been kind of bouncing around. Just want to kind of go down this. ICE to deport wife of Marine, Iraq veteran, on August 3rd. So it was a family picture of a former Marine sergeant. I've never seen the name before. K-A-U-H-T-E-M-O-C. Nicknamed Timo Juarez, as shown with his wife, Alejandra, and their daughters. Daughters are now 8 and 16. Timo Juarez served as a Marine from 1995 to 1999, then deployed to Iraq as a member of the Florida National Guard. Alejandra Juarez was informed by ICE on Tuesday she will be deported on August 3rd. Juarez crossed illegally into the U.S. in 1998. She married Timo Juarez in 2000. The eldest of their two daughters was 12 months old when he deployed to Iraq. I thought if you married an American citizen, that made you an American citizen. I guess I don't understand this stuff. Alejandra Juarez has no adverse factors on her record besides her illegal entry 20 years ago. We're very hopeful we will be able to work with the Department of Homeland Security and with ICE to afford her an ability to stay. I don't understand. Congress giving the officer promotion system a massive overhaul. It's kind of an interesting little story here. Congress is poised to pass the most sweeping reforms to the military officer promotion system in almost four decades. That's 40 years, just in case you're not familiar with the decade system. A move that would end years of intense debate inside the Pentagon to bring the personnel system in line with many private sector employment practices. The changes could have far-reaching impact on the culture of the officer corps and change the incentives of how individual officers manage their own careers. These are the most significant reforms we've seen since the late 70s, if not longer, said Brad Carson, who served as the Pentagon's top personnel officer during Barack Obama's administration. And this isn't just about cyber jobs or Signal or the JAG Corps. This can be applied to any person or any job. The bill aims to make military promotion boards place more emphasis on merit and job performance rather than seniority. The changes would also allow officers the opportunity to develop more technical expertise in increasingly complex career fields that are essential to future missions. Normally, going down those roads has been kind of a career dead end. You would be promoted, but you're not really competitive for command. Specifically, changes would include ending some of the upper out rules that force officers to leave the military service if they fail to be promoted along rigid timelines. Number two, allow for mid-career civilians and with high demand skills to enter military up to the rank of colonel. That would be interesting, right? So you lat move from your civilian job in cyber warfare to lieutenant colonel? Do you go through some kind of no, sir, you salute with a left hand, colonel. Allowing promotion boards to move high-performing officers higher on the promotion list regardless of their time in service. Interesting. So you get promoted faster. You know, I don't know that that's always a good thing, though. Promoted faster in order to do what? You know, there is an experience thing. And I will tell you, I think one of the worst things that the Marine Corps has going is, and you see staff NCOs do it all the time, they go back to the drill field. Why? Because you can get meritoriously promoted down there. I don't think you should be able to be meritoriously promoted more than once in your career. Okay, except in combat. Combat meritorious promotion, have at it. But because here's what happens. You know, okay, so you have these specific skills that obviously suit the drill field. But inherent in those experiences, I'll ask Mike about this later, but it's like a roast, okay, right? You ever have somebody that microwaves a roast? No, right? Why not? The meat would be done. You'd be eating a roast. No. Why not? Because it needs time, okay? Like leaders need time. It needs time in order to develop judgment, in order to get enough repetitions. So as they move up, right, as they move up, they go ahead and they have these requisite experiences. I encountered people, and let me tell you, and they universally were habitual drill-filled people, and they were horrible senior staff NCOs. And you looked, and you said, God, where do they come from, man? Where in the hell did they come from? And then somebody would tell you, they came from the drill field. Should be a staff sergeant, in the case that's in my head, but is a first sergeant. Doing all this drill field bullshit, right? Knife edging people, which you're not supposed to do anymore. Knife edging means you're taking your hand as you're talking to them, and you're making your hand kind of into a knife, and you're as you speak, you're like using your hand. Dan, and if I have to tell you, it's called knife edging somebody, right? Technique at the drill field. So you see this and you're like, what are they doing in there? You know, because the more senior you go, the more you mentor, the more you tutor, right? The more you use different, if you're in there screaming and yelling, something gone terribly wrong. And people that don't spend enough time marinating and working at different ranks, at some point, in my opinion, they pay for it. I don't think you should be fast-tracked too often in your career. I think there's a meter to it. And you know, the military needs good leaders at all levels. So I don't really know. Is this, again, my own opinion is, I would go back to what, at the top of the article, that whoever that guy said, this is not just for those kind of boutique specialists. Sounds like to me it is. Because everybody else needs time. You need those experiences at those different levels to understand what they do. So as you get senior and you begin to employ those units, you understand them. You've been there. You've done that. That takes time. It takes experience. And so that addresses that. Those comments address this. Allowing promotion boards to move high-performing officers higher on the promotion list, regardless of their time in service. So that gets you out of the battalion to the regiment. Well, you didn't get a chance to spend enough time at the battalion. Anyway, we'll see. And then the fourth bullet is allowing service secretaries to create an alternative promotion process for specific career fields. The bill, which appears likely to become law, rewrites many aspects of the 1980 Defense Officer Personnel Management Act that is drawn up in the early years of the all-volunteer force. None of the changes included in the final annual defense authorization bill draft released by conference committee officials this week will be mandatory for the services, and Carson expects a slow, measured rollout of the new authorities once the military services craft regulations for these policies. The services have signaled different levels of support for the changes. For example, the Navy is eager to implement many of the reforms. Yet the Marine Corps has been particularly skeptical of changing the longstanding rules currently in place. It gives the services more flexibility in who they recruit and who they retain, but it brings up a lot of cultural questions too, said Mike Barron, director of government relations at the Military Officers Association of America. Quote, and we may not know all the effects until years down the road. Some provisions would allow officers in certain high-demand specialties to stay in jobs without promotion for much longer stretches, up to 40 years of service. Under the current upper-out system, officers who fail to continue their upward rank advancement every few years are pushed out of the service. The new congressional plan would subvert that, at least for a few hard-to-replicate skills and exceptional individuals. So, for instance, if you're a grunt, right, if you don't get selected to lieutenant colonel, you're probably not going to be allowed, you're going to probably not be able to retire on active duty. You will probably be forced out. Okay, so let's just say that you have a skill that we want. And let's, for the sake of discussion, just say that that's some kind of cyber skill. You would be then put on some kind of exempt list. Yeah, he's exempted. So he could be a major until he's 90. He's in. He goes on. Quote, while there will likely be few junior officers who remain on active duty for 40 years, it is sometimes counterproductive to force officers to separate or retire at an arbitrary point in time, lawmakers wrote of the provision. No matter the process or policy, some officers will not be selected for promotion. It is important to retain the upper-out concept for officer management, but there must be some exceptions when the needs of the military will best be served by retaining an officer. It's hard to imagine that that would not be in place. So, again, talking about talent, talking about how do we retain talented people? Another part of the article. Colonels with no prior military experience, question mark. Many of the ideas contained in the authorization bill echo former Defense Secretary Ash Carter's Force of the Future reforms for the Pentagon touted near the end of the Obama administration. Carson worked closely with Carter on these ideas, and he said he sees new congressional plans as inevitable given the competitive recruiting environment that the military faces. Quote, I used to say if Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, who lost $17 billion yesterday, $17.8 billion when Facebook took a nosedive, because Facebook's going to get regulated. And so their expenses, their overhead is essentially doubled within the last 12 months. Because you can't just have the Wild Wild West impacting governments around the world, impacting people's lives around the world with no accountability. Facebook's being brought to heel. Their expenses are going up, and so the stock took a nosedive yesterday based on earnings. How do you like that? Mac ties it all together for you. There was no way to have him come in with his stature, his professional abilities, that his professional abilities demand. What are we going to do? Make him a first lieutenant? Now, services will have the authority to award direct commissions up to the rank of colonel or Navy captain if recruits warrant that level of authority. I can't wait to see that. Each service already has a unique culture, and part of the process of moving up has always been inculcating individuals in that culture over the years. I'm not saying that it can't work, but that change is something the services will be watching closely. Will the services use it? Bring in some guy. Call him Colonel the next day. It'll be interesting. I think it does. It gives services obviously the opportunity to do some different things. I'm not going to have the time I want to talk about the rest of the news. Anyway, officer promotion. In a terrible story out of Camp Pendleton, the headline is, Slain Corpsman was ambushed by schizophrenic Marine deserter, according to authorities. And there's a picture of a Navy Corpsman, HM3 Devon Rideout, was found shot to death in her Oceanside apartment on July 21st. The man arrested for the shooting death of a 24-year-old Navy Corpsman was a Marine Corps deserter and diagnosed schizophrenic. Prosecutors said former Marine Corporal Eduardo Areola, 25, ambush Rideout, shooting the unsuspecting Corpsman three times in the chest and twice in the head as she left her apartment to walk her dog at about 4 p.m. on July 20th. Rideout had just arrived at her Oceanside, California residence moments earlier after leaving Camp Pendleton, was still in uniform when she was killed, according to NBC, KNBC out of Los Angeles. The deranged shooter then tried to prevent witnesses from providing emergency aid, prosecutors said. Areola was arrested the next day on suspicion of murder. Areola lived in the apartment directly above Rideout, fled to Mexico when he deserted from the Marine Corps in 2016, report said. He was arrested, diagnosed with schizophrenia, and discharged from the military in 2017 when he returned. Despite his documented mental illness, Areola legally purchased a .38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver he allegedly used to murder Rideout only 2 months ago from Iron Sight shooting range in Oceanside. The gun dealer apparently had no access to the military records that contained the diagnosis. Investigators say the alleged murderer and the victim were not acquaintances, but a disturbing discovery was made when authorities investigated Areola's vehicle. Rideout's name, along with the names of two others, were inscribed on the car's radiator, accompanied by the words, Rest in Peace, references to the Quran, the report said. Investigators are currently looking into the other names. Man. You know, we've talked about this before, but our nation has to get its hands around mental health and these people. I mean, she lost her life because of some crazy son of a bitch. And I'll tell you what, and I don't know the circumstances that surround. So if somebody that's wired in to the normal records that would prevent that gun from being sold, would they have stopped it? Would any gun dealer have stopped it? Or was this guy? Oh man, this shit's awful. Absolutely, positively awful. All right, a couple of news headlines, and then we're gonna get after China. Well, number one is in early bird. Congress is giving officer promotion system massive overhaul. You know about that. This story: Islamic State kills 215 people in southwest Syrian attacks, according to local officials. Islamic State's militants killed more than 200 people in a coordinated assault on a government-held area of southwestern Syria on Wednesday, local officials and war monitors said, the group's deadliest attack in the country for years. ISIS, man, the sooner they're gone from the evaporated from the earth, the better. This is an interesting story. Congress wants the Department of Defense to hold a national cyber response exercise. If the United States were to fall victim to a large-scale cyber attack that took out critical infrastructure, the Department of Defense would turn to little-used authorities to assist federal civilian agencies with its response. Congress wants it to exercise those abilities. So, interesting. Four, dozens of lawmakers warn Defense Department, don't whitewash climate change report. That has been much in the news. And from the Wall Street Journal, number five, Trump's meeting with Putin won't take place until next year. Way to figure that out, boys and girls. United States Air Force in Europe, their commanding general. The military is doing a 360-degree review of troop basing in Germany. Okay. And, again, that was mentioned, what, about a month ago? It was also mentioned about, you know, our forces still in Germany. Germany is no longer the frontier. So why do we have forces there? Poland's asked for more troops, and moving them east certainly would make sense. Another sad story. wary of U.S. as an ally, Syrian Kurds look to Damascus for talks. Syrian Kurds are trying to forge ties with Damascus as they seek to protect gains made in 7 years of war. Wary that their unpredictable U.S. ally will make a deal and leave them hanging. As a result, they're the most ready they've ever been to negotiate with President Assad. Sad. Sad, 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 sad. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear about China. So trust me, do not touch that dial, no matter what else you do. Go ahead and keep it right here. You're going to get smart about China. And one of the most interesting discussions I've heard about China in many, 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 many moons. So, again, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.